Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. And we have a special Call Your Shot Friday edition this time at 7 o'clock. We normally do Call Your Shot Friday every Friday at 7:45, but we're going to be joined by David Long Jr. from the Titans coming up at 7:45 later this hour. So we're moving things around, taking your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Titans, the Preds, Nashville SC, the Vols, anything on the table, take it anywhere you want to take it on our text line, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Okay, well, let's go with me. Anthony Ferguson will score a touchdown. No, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina will catch three passes. I don't know. He caught a touchdown.
Can't remember if he caught three or not.
He caught a touchdown. So I think that one TD equals three passes. So I think I'm going to get a
You make the rules, Joe.
Thank
so.
You. That's right. I said Vanderbilt will be within a score of Missouri. Actually, I said that in the fourth quarter, right?
I believe so.
I think
and
so.
And, of course, it was 30-28 with 3 minutes left. Missouri then had a long TD run to seal the game. But bing, ding, ding. Thank you. Also said Astros will win 2 of 3 in Atlanta. They won. Nope. They won one. So, Robbie, you had
By the way, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, two catches.
One a touchdown. So, we'll give me two right ones there. Thank you. Robbie Tolvanen scores tomorrow versus the Islanders. That did not happen. Jamar Chase, three touchdowns versus the Jets.
He had one.
You had the Braves winning 2 of 3 at home versus Houston. Exactly correct. And NWI touchdown catch versus the Colts. Hello.
Man, so that's right.
That's strong. Michelle, re-upping what you said. When did you say this the first time? The Braves winning the World Series.
I said that.
Early August?
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of a bit ago.
Yeah, very impressive. So, you were right. Ian Anderson, 6 shutout innings in that game.
5.
So, you're right on the Kentucky football beat Mississippi State by 10 or more. No. You got
Oops.
Wait a minute. You got a hoop shot for next week from last week, so we'll just carry it over. We got two hoop shots. Kentucky beating Duke by 20 or more Tuesday.
I'm scared.
In the Garden. And you got Kentucky winning it all. Now, when you say winning it all, do you mean the NIT?
Yeah.
Joe, okay. I hate you.
Robbie made me do it. I'm sorry.
But hey, if we were in the NIT, yes, we would win it all. But we're not.
I hope that
actually Robert Morris, I remember, beat a nice Cal team a few years ago in the NIT in the opening round. But hey, whatever.
No need to bring up the history.
Hey, whatever. All right. So with that in mind, let's get rolling on today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. Michelle Knezovic, would you like to kick us off?
I would love to. I got my notepad in front of me. I got all my shots. Okay, we're keeping the Kentucky basketball one because that game is coming up this week. So I still think we're going to beat Duke by 20.
Okay.
All right. Double down on that one. I mean, are you sure you don't want to go for 30?
Nope. We're going to go 20. 2-0. Okay, Joe?
Just 20. Okay.
Make sure you get that right. Typing it in there. Okay.
I got it. I got you.
Titans will beat the Rams in Los Angeles the exact same way they beat Indianapolis. We're going to have an interception by Kevin Byard, and then Randy Bullock is bringing it home.
Wow. So back-to-back big performances by Randy Bullock and Kevin Byard. I like it.
You like it?
Byard-Bullock. Byard-look. That's quite a combo.
I don't know if that's yeah.
We'll probably never say I don't know if we're going with Byard-look.
Let's never say that again.
Okay, another B, Bud Dupree will have 2 sacks.
Okay.
And finally, Kentucky wins in overtime. Over Tennessee, you got a big eye roll by Robbie Stanley right there. 27-28.
Okay.
Are you giving the losing score first? Is that like...
Or 28-27. I just wrote it that way. It's early, Joe. It's just 7.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay,
She loves Tennessee that much.
Okay, hold on. Kentucky wins in overtime, 28. So in other words...
Kentucky wins in overtime, 28.
27. So Tennessee is going to botch its extra point?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're going to miss a
now
field
there's
goal.
There's a shot. Well, that's a shot. They would have to, well, they'd have to score a tying touchdown and miss the extra
yes.
point.
Yes, yeah. yes, extra okay. point.
Man, if this happens, I'm going to invest all my savings in every prediction Michelle ever makes from now on.
Ever.
Okay. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week.
Anthony Firkser will have a touchdown against the Rams Sunday night.
Surprise, surprise.
See, for all the everybody, you know, gives me all the fanboy rips on NWI and now Mekhi Sargent. But I mean, come on. I mean, no, who else supports Anthony Firkser in this market more than I do?
No one.
With no return whatsoever to show for it. Harold Landry will have a strip sack of Matthew Stafford. So and by the way, which the Titans will recover. So strip sack of Stafford, Titans recover.
Okay.
Tyon Evans will have 120 plus yards in Saturday's game at Kentucky.
Tyon
Evans, 120 plus yards. And one more also from that game, Byron Young will score a touchdown.
Wow. Byron Young scores a touchdown. That'd be something.
Well, that's a shock because it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Wow. We'll see.
Totally we'll dismissive see. Of Rex Rhodes' shots. All right, I'll go very quickly. Hendon Hooker will account for 4 touchdowns against Kentucky. So that could be on the ground, through the air. He will account for 4 touchdowns against Kentucky.
Okay.
Mikhail Granlund scores 2 goals against Vancouver. So the Preds taking on Vancouver tonight. Mikhail Granlund with 2 of them. He scores twice. And A.J. Brown goes for a 55-yarder or more in this game for a touchdown against the Rams. I'm not thinking it's going to come on a deep shot down the field. I think it's going to be a classic A.J. Brown running after the catch type play, and he's going to leave Jalen Ramsey in the dust. 55-yarder or more for a touchdown in this game for the Titans against the Rams. What do you think about that one?
Well, I think that would be exactly something the Titans are going to try to make happen. And that's how you get Ramsey. That's how you get Ramsey.
Let's go to our text line driven by Wilson. That's right. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Ryan in Nashville texting in. The Nashville Predators blow out the Hawks on Sunday with one Preds player having a hat trick. So calling a blowout win for the Predators and one player having a hat trick in the game coming up on Sunday for the Predators. Josh texting in. Called shots, Julio with 100-plus yards receiving, AJ 100-plus yards receiving, and McWeapon, 6 catches for 45 yards. Between the running backs, a total of 85 yards or more. And add on that a lineman will have a receiving touchdown. This coming from Josh.
God, what are they, the text line. Are they scoring 60 in this game? Who isn't going to have a huge game?
They might be. Hey, man.
I want to know which lineman, though. If you really are going to call a shot, I want to know which lineman.
I mean, Taylor Lewan has a touchdown reception in his career. Kendall Lamb has a touchdown reception in his career. So there's a couple of options that the Titans have.
I mean, when is David Questenberry going to finally get his touchdown?
Yeah, that's what we got to see. Mason texting in, my called shot is the Titans will dominate this game against the Rams 21-3. So this vaunted Titans defense holding the Rams to only 3 points.
This is, you said Mason?
Yeah.
Okay. Mason, washing your car if you're right.
My call.
If you have a car, I'll wash it.
That's coming from another texter. The LA Rams have a 0% chance to beat the Titans. I guarantee a Titans victory. Guarantee in all capital letters. This coming from Michael on the text line.
This is early for happy hour on a Friday. I mean, I know it's Friday, but that's usually like early afternoon, right?
Well, I was going to – the doom and gloom that I was talking about earlier from Titans fans, maybe it's not as prevalent as I thought.
Seriously, compare these takes to Monday. My goodness.
That is today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. We will continue to take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, some big news on the Tennessee Vols football front yesterday that – could have a big deal on the way this season finishes out. We'll get to that coming up next. NFL Week 9 continues on, however, this Sunday, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week, and all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Titans and the Rams in action coming up on Sunday night. No Derrick Henry, so that hurts the rushing total for the Titans. But give me Ryan Tannehill over on his passing yards. Give me A.J. Brown over on his receiving yards as well. And give me Matthew Stafford over on his passing yards. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. You get your winnings in as little as 2 hours. It's America's number one sportsbook. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on either team to win during the Sunday afternoon matchup between Green Bay and Kansas City. Win $150 on a $5 bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I think we've heard that fight song more this week, probably more than we'll hear it on Saturday. It's good stuff.
So that's Kentucky? I mean, you've played it many times, and I'm still like, that's Kentucky?
Yeah, it is, Joe. Come on.
Dun, dun, dun. Random fight song, random fight song.
Go
they all
UK.
Sound the same.
I just got to do it as much as I can this week, and then I guess we'll see the outcome on Saturday.
Yes, we'll see what happens.
You've got the cleaning products in aisle 7 and the meat in the deli on the other side.
Dun, 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 dun.
Anytime we get Rex Road singing on the show, it's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't record that one.
Let's go back to the text line. Driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Mason texting back in. Joe, I'm holding you to that car wash. You have to hand wash it also. It's a dirty Jeep. So you'd have to hand wash it.
That's fine. I'll wax the thing. If the Titans win 21-3. Not 24-3. Not 21-7. If they win 21-3, I will wax it. I will vacuum it. I mean, I'll put a little one of those little trees in it to make it smell good. Okay, I'll buy it myself.
Nice. Some fancy stuff Rex Road prepared to do. So some big news yesterday. We talked a lot about the potential NCAA sanctions for Tennessee, whether or not they were going to self-impose a bowl ban this season with a bowl game looking increasingly likely for Tennessee. They're 4-4 right now. They've got an opportunity to win against Kentucky tomorrow, probably not against Georgia, and probably – unless something really unforeseen happens, a couple of definite wins against South Alabama and Vanderbilt. So that would put them to 6 if they get those two wins, 7 if they're able to win against Kentucky. And it was announced yesterday that Tennessee has concluded its year-long internal investigation and that it will not be self-imposing a bowl ban. That came out yesterday. Also, Chris Lowe from ESPN pointing out that the university does plan to self-impose penalties other than a postseason ban, such as a reduction in scholarships and other recruiting restrictions. But the long and the short of it is Tennessee concluded that they don't need to self-impose a bowl ban. And now the question, Joe Rex Road, is, was that the right move? And what will the NCAA do in response to this? Going to be interesting to see what happens on that front.
Yeah, this has been, I think it's been heading this way for a while. Okay. But my understanding is that there's definitely been some real spirited discussion at Tennessee about this, and it really comes down to, anybody who's followed the Oklahoma State basketball thing, totally different, but there's an example of a school that bent over backward and trying to placate the NCAA and trying to do everything that they could do it right. And essentially, they had no lack of institutional control. They had none of the big stuff. They had a $300 violation for a player getting $300. It was paid back, and they got popped. They got postseason. You know, they're out of the tournament this year, which is garbage. I mean, again, in the same sport, I mean, they're in the same league as Bill Self in Kansas, okay? In the same sport where, you know, Will Wade will lead those Tigers out this year. And so there's a lot of inconsistency. And I thought that they were going to announce a postseason bowl ban right before the season started, and they didn't. And there's, again, been a lot of discussion about it. I can't blame them. I mean, on the one hand, you can look at this and say, okay, so what you're saying is this stuff is so serious, we're firing this guy with cause. We're not paying him a dime. That's how bad it is. But it's not so bad that we need a bowl ban. You know? I mean, you can look at it that way. But at the same time, I do agree, and this has been a problem for decades with NCAA enforcement. Like, none of the people who are here now had anything to do with this, and I don't think that they should get penalized. I don't think these kids on the Tennessee team should be penalized and lose a chance for a bowl game if they happen to earn one. I think they will. I think they're certainly going to get to six wins. So it's a gamble, but even if you – like, it's possible that you don't gamble and they weren't going to give you the postseason ban, right? I mean, I don't blame them for rolling the dice on this one.
Well, to that point about no one really being here from that time, I mean, the coaching staff is gone. A lot of the players that are rumored to be kind of involved in this are gone too. Like, you know, Eric Gray is at Oklahoma. I mean, there's some of the players are gone from it as well. So I think from that standpoint, maybe certainly makes a little bit more sense to just let things be the way that they are and have unfolded. I mean, Tennessee, you know, I know a lot of Tennessee fans when this process first started, especially when the NIL laws came into effect and the NCAA was getting dragged through the Supreme Court of, if you're any program right now, like, why would you self-impose anything with the NCAA? And, you know, I don't know if I necessarily buy into that part of it because the NCAA still does have some power in this. But
And rules were still rules before. That's the thing. You can't – because things have changed now, it doesn't mean that previous rules in place are irrelevant.
Exactly. But it is interesting now to – is this going to be it? Like, is the NCAA just going to say, all right, whatever, y'all go ahead? Or could they impose a bowl ban themselves? That's going to be interesting to see. And as we know, the NCAA very timely in these decisions. So maybe we'll find out at some point in this calendar year, maybe?
Yeah, I don't. Probably not. And so, you know, that's the thing is the thing that you worry about is that next year's team would be popped, you know, and I don't really know what next year's team is going to be, but I think that if Hendon Hooker is next year's quarterback with the full off season, you know, more in this offense and everything poured into him, you know, I think that sounds kind of promising, you know. I mean, I think obviously the transfer portal is, like, for a team like Tennessee in particular, that's going to tell a lot of the story of next year. They're going to have to get some players in the portal. They could be a pretty good team next year. And it would be a real shame if they have, like, more like an 8-4 kind of team, like a you could get to a Florida bowl game kind of team, and that team gets penalized while this team could have been. And it would have, you know, then you kind of put it aside. And this is where – on the recruiting front we were talking about yesterday, I mean, look, if I'm an opposing coach, I'll certainly claim to know that the NCAA is going to come after them and not be happy with this decision and take it out on them for next year. I would, you know, without having any knowledge of that, actually. I mean, it is possible.
Oh, it's possible. And I saw Tennessee fans yesterday, some saying, all right, and I'm glad you brought up the conversation we had yesterday about Josh Heupel in recruiting. It's not going overly well right now for Tennessee. And now that you don't have this quote-unquote cloud hanging over you about self-imposing a bowl ban, does that help Josh Heupel in recruiting? I mean, it can't hurt. I don't know how much, though, that I buy that it's going to massively help Tennessee in recruiting either.
Well, again, the self-imposed bowl ban would have been – I mean, if you got it out of the way this year, then none of these recruits, it doesn't affect them anyway. So
exactly.
As a coach of another program negatively recruiting against Tennessee, I would actually take this information and say, okay, they screwed up, guys, and you go there, and they're going to – you know, I'm sure they've saying out loud, like, they're going to be banned for 4 years. You will never play in a bowl game at Tennessee, so come on here to – you know, Western Kentucky. Let's go. I don't know. But
well, that's to that point. That's always been the other part of this conversation. Like, even if it does affect you your freshman year, like at the end of the day, do college recruits really care about not going to a bowl game in their freshman year when they're going to have to play there at least 3 years? Probably not a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other part of it as well, the scholarships are going to be reduced, the coaches are going to be kept on campus, and the teams aren't going to be good. You know, because of this, the program is going to be crippled by these sanctions, and why do you want to go play at a place that can't be competitive? I mean, that's all exaggeration. I don't think it's going to be that extensive, but, I mean, that's what you would say, right? That's what you would say to try to sway someone. Again, look, I can go on. We gave total anonymity to a lot of high school coaches in this state a few weeks ago, and that was a big part of it. It was like, how much are kids hearing from other schools about Tennessee's situation? Like, yeah, it's really not that big of a deal. I don't think that's some huge thing either way when you talk about Heupel's recruiting. I think it's when you're recruiting someone, as you pointed out, for the long haul, and it comes down to just kids believing that the program's going to a certain place, and it comes down to relationships and coaches and wanting to play for these coaches and Josh Heupel and his staff. I think all those factors are a lot more important than whatever the result of this thing is.
Ole Miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 5 to 7 p.m. live at Corner Pub in Brentwood at 710 Old Hickory Boulevard prior to the Titans taking on the L.A. Rams. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. When we come back, we'll switch gears, get back into the Titans, including a very intriguing option that I think the Titans could have coming up on Sunday on defense. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Going to be joined here in about 13 minutes or so by Titans linebacker David Long Jr. So looking forward to that coming up at 7:45 as the Titans look ahead to the Rams. And Joe, speaking of David Long Jr., obviously he's played extremely well this year so far for the Titans. You've got a really intriguing situation right now at middle linebacker. You know, Monty Rice comes back in. We've not talked a whole lot about that this week. I thought he played pretty well against the Colts and didn't have Rashawn Evans in that game, obviously. Jayon Brown's been working his way back with injury. But, you know, Jayon Brown looks like he's getting closer, looks like he could be getting healthier. That's an intriguing option to me still, a healthy Jayon Brown and David Long Jr. playing at the same time. Talk about a lot of speed, a lot of coverage ability, you know, maybe not quite as physical in the running game, although David Long Jr., if you watch some of the clips last week from him, played pretty physically in that game. What do you make of that idea of maybe Jayon Brown and David Long Jr. together at linebacker?
Yeah, I've been intrigued by it for weeks, and it was several weeks ago. I asked Shane Bowen about it, and you know, he just said, "Yeah, I mean, that's something that could be interesting. You know, they'd like to be able to kind of rotate through and be able to use those guys interchangeably. They haven't had everybody obviously because Brown's been on it. Brown is, you know, he didn't get the payday he wanted to get in the offseason. That's why he's back here. And it hasn't really paid off for the Titans for him to be back here much yet, but I still think it could. And obviously this is also part of the issue is that he's had a hard time staying healthy. But Bowen talked yesterday about, you know, him continuing to be a leader through this. I mean, if you look at the injury report again at linebacker, I mean, Rashawn Evans goes on the list late last week. Goes on Friday out of nowhere, right? So, I mean, I think he hurt himself Friday would be the presumption there. Ankle, haven't seen him yet. Hasn't been out there yet. So, he must have done something to the ankle. So, it doesn't look great for him right now. I agree with you. I think Monty Rice was one of those. There's so many things that happened in the Indianapolis game, you know, that you can easily lose track of. But I think that was one of the stories, was that Monty Rice was pretty solid, which is significant, not just now, but even down the road. I think Rice and Long is your most likely starting duo next year. So he is on there with a knee new as of yesterday. That's a limited knee. He shows up on the report, as does Lawan. As does Landry, by the way, with a hamstring. So none of those guys were on the report Wednesday. All those guys are on it yesterday. Hammy for Landry, definitely something to watch. Lawan with the knee, Monty Rice with the knee. This is another situation with two roster spots. Who's taking those two roster spots? Could this be Jayon Brown coming back? And all of a sudden that could be it. You could have a long Brown whole game here Sunday night. You got to be, and you know, in this league, you got to be able to mix and match, and you got to hope that when guys go on the report, some guys come off, and this could be another case like that, just like possibly with Fulton.
Yeah, you know, the Landry thing is interesting because, you know, he was on the report last week with a hamstring injury as well, and, you know, even going into the weekend, didn't really know what his status was going to be. Obviously, he came out there and played very well once again for the Titans against the Colts, but it is interesting that he wasn't really on it on Wednesday and now is on it. So something to monitor. And Joe, as we've talked about, unfortunately, a lot this year with this Titans team, the hamstring is something that you just continue to worry about as you continue to move forward.
Yeah, the ham virus has really weaved its way through this team. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought he looked about like Harold Landry Sunday. So it could also be that, you know, this could be one of those. Like with Lawan in the knee, is that more like a precautionary thing? I mean, technically, you know, he's coming off surgery still. So is that precautionary? Is Landry precautionary? I mean, these are the questions we don't know, and Mike Vrabel won't tell us.
Yes, that is for sure. I agree with you. The most likely starting linebacker combo next year probably is Rice and David Long Jr. But it is interesting, you know, if Jayon Brown is back, and let's say he gets in there this week, I still love the idea of those two playing together. Like, you know, based on injury, like I just don't know that Jayon Brown's going to be back next year. I mean, it just, you know, obviously he looked to go get a deal in free agency this past offseason, and whatever he wanted was not there and not available. And he comes back to the Titans on a 1-year deal. I think it's pretty likely that both he and Evans are gone. That doesn't mean that right now the best option is Rice and Long. I still think the Jayon Brown, David Long Jr. option is there. And then, you know, Rashawn Evans, you know, obviously he is not in the good graces of Titans fans right now based on the way last year went and how some moments of this year has gone. I still believe that for this team this year in certain matchups, there is quite the role for Rashawn Evans on this defense. He still has talent. I would put the chances of him being back here next year at almost zero at this point, but it's not like you just completely phase him out of the defense either.
No, he's going to be important. I mean, look, he's made some mistakes this year. He's made some plays this year too. I mean, let's not forget he's made some plays. He and he has value for this defense. And yeah, he's part of a lot of names you could list that say, you know, this particular team is going to look pretty different next year. And there's some, you know, he's one of those guys that, yeah, maybe it's better to move on from ultimately. But a lot of that has to do with contract, although I'll be very interested to see what the market really is for Evans and Brown. But a lot of guys who are on this team who may not be on it next year, which is why this team is one that you want to make a run with, even with Derrick Henry out, and you, of course you hope you can get him back. But Rashawn Evans too. I mean, all of a sudden, if he's gone and Brown's gone. Like, again, I think that was an encouraging performance from Rice, but there's still a lot to find out about him. And then you're again back to, well, you got to find depth at that position. So now you do have some if they could actually ever get everybody fully healthy.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD texting in. What is the current Titans sack record? Jared A. Smith said yesterday that Landry would miss it by a lot. Joe's take had him barely missing it. I appreciate the Jared A. Smith. That was good stuff from JD there on
nice.
The text line.
Yeah. I kind of like Skipman, which we haven't been using much lately, better. But I like Jared A. Smith. So the record is 15. Now the Titans record is 14.5. That's the freak. In 99, right? Yeah, his rookie year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who just completely changed the trajectory of that franchise, right? I mean, for all the other great things they had going, just having that guy on the edge was such a game changer for that defense. 15 is William Fuller with the Oilers in 91. Yeah, and I in one of my apparently homerific predictions, I said Landry will just miss. You said what? He's going to get 17, right?
He's getting 17.
Jared was like, nah, yeah. He won't come close. He's like, he'll have like 11. And, hey, Jared may be right. He may get 2.5 sacks the last 9 games. That's certainly possible, but I wouldn't feel great about that prediction. I mean, I feel like he's got a handful left, right, or so, four left in him.
Yeah. I got a texter that says, ham virus sounds delicious.
Well, imagine a corned beef hash virus.
Yes.
Inject that in my veins.
Would you be immunized with a corned beef hash virus?
I'd be immunized against not loving food. That's right. Of course, if I did inject corned beef hash in my veins, I would literally die.
Yes. Yes, you would.
It would literally kill me, but it still sounds good.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Titans linebacker David Long Jr. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, scheduled to be joined shortly by Titans linebacker David Long Jr. So looking forward to that conversation coming up with him as the Titans take on the Rams coming up on Sunday Night Football. On NBC coming up on Sunday night. Joe, a primetime matchup. Don't get to see the Titans a whole lot on Sunday Night Football. I'm looking forward to this one coming up on Sunday night.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I think, still a very attractive and interesting game. Obviously, it's tough for the Titans to not have 22, but it also makes for, you know, the nation can watch how they adjust to that kind of earth-shaking loss 6 days later.
Yeah, certainly something to keep an eye on there. And as if you look at, you know, the Titans in this game, obviously outwardly the expectations have gone down, but this kind of also feels like a game that Mike Vrabel has been really good at over the years in terms of getting his team ready to go. And I expect the Titans are going to be ready to go in this game from LA.
Yeah, I mean, it's another – I mean, in terms of stuff Vrabel likes to hear, he likes to hear people saying his team has no chance in this game or that game or this stretch or that stretch, and they seem to respond pretty well to that. So they've got that again. Although, actually, I do feel like at least locally, and maybe it's just Homerville here, but there's more optimism than maybe you might think for this game. Because honestly, I mean, had nothing happened with Derrick Henry, I think I'd probably pick him to lose this game. But I don't know.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans linebacker David Long Jr. David, what's going on, man? How are we doing? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Yes, sir. No problem. I'm good. How are you?
We are doing great. We appreciate you joining us this morning. So what is the feeling like in the building this week? Obviously, you know, a gut punch for you guys on Monday, losing number 22, Derrick Henry, and how good he's been so far this year. But you guys have been a resilient team dealing with injuries all season long. What's the feeling like in the building this week?
The feeling is the same. It's no chance. Of course, you know, we're going to miss Derrick. We've made some changes, and we're just, like, ready to get back out there and playing ball. The feeling is, you know, just keep focusing on the main thing, you know, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, so, Dave, and I know you guys, look, you guys have had so many injuries, David, and next man up, I mean, that term might be used more by your team this year than I can recall just because of how many injuries you guys have had and how many different guys have had to step up in various spots and have, you know, done the job. But just for you personally, I just curious when you found out, how you found out about Derek and what your instant reaction was, keeping in mind this is a family show.
I mean, of course I was gutted by the loss. You know, he means a big part of our team. But, you know, I knew we had the mentality and the players around, you know, that's just ready to step up and make plays.
David, as you look at your game personally so far this year, obviously, I mean, you've been all around the ball. You've been making plays left and right for this defense. How would you describe kind of your evolution in this league, and where do you think your game is right now?
I think it's, you know, it's getting better. You know, every week I'm just, you know, focusing on and getting better on in every part of my game. But, you know, coming in the league, you know, that's just been, you know, my focus, you know, just to, you know, take advantage of my opportunities, you know, and when I get the chance to be out there, you know, just to be the player, you know I am. So that's been my challenge to myself right now, you know, just staying consistent, you know, continue to get better and, you know, just see where that takes me.
Well, David, one thing that was apparent in camp, and you talked about this during camp, was just I don't know if the term is more comfort or just, you know, just more effectiveness in coverage. Like you said in the offseason, that was a focal point for you, is, you know, when you're dropping, just to be better and to you know, just work hard on that. But it seems like everything has come together for you this year. So is that I mean, is that study? Is that physically, you know, improving in some way? Or is it just the more snaps you get in game action, you just, like, the game slows down? Right. Like, how would you characterize your progress and how it has come about like this?
I would say, you know, just my want to get better, you know, taking the coach, you know, has, and the guys here has been a big help. And, you know, just you know, me learning things that I wasn't, learning in college or whatever it may be, you know, just to elevate my game. And I just, you know, took advantage as far as, like, you know, the snaps, you know, and being out there, that played a big role in my development in my game. You know, just being out there more and everything slowing down and me just being more familiar with, you know, different types of offenses and players, that all plays a big role in my development of my game. And, you know, it's just year three, you know, and, you know, people don't really get that. I've worked a lot hard, you know, to get to this point. So I'm just going to take, you know, full advantage, you know, make sure, you know, I'm getting better every week.
Well, a lot was made after the game, David, of course, Kevin's interception to, in Indy, which sets up the game-winning field goal. But Vrabel and Byard talked after the game also about an adjustment you made on that play, I guess basically to force him to wait a little bit longer to throw it, right? And can you talk us through that play, what the communication was from Kevin, and then what you saw or adjusted on that play?
I think it was a play action, and we teach a certain type of technique. And earlier in the game, I had missed it, but they didn't throw it. But this time, it was the same thing, and this time I was on them, and I held on the under, and I made them throw it further than expected. And my boy KB went and made a big play for us. So that was just all about, you know, end game and adjustments and making sure, you know, that I was on top of my game. And I ended up, you know, being there when it counted.
Titans linebacker David Logg Jr. on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, how do you put into words what Harold Landry has meant so far this year to your defense and the pressure that he's been able to generate on these quarterbacks?
He's been amazing, you know, just, you know, making plays all over the field, you know, forced fumble sacks or whatever it may be. He's been a big part, you know, of the, you know, the defense this year. So, it's just good to see out there. Like, everybody, you know, just, you know, making plays, and everybody, you know, have that want to, you know, should be better and want to win. It's just great to see.
So as you look at the Rams, David, obviously Matthew Stafford, huge pickup for them. We know that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are having huge years. They have a lot of talent on offense. I feel like this week there hasn't been a ton of talk about their run game. You guys have been very good against the run. Haven't seen a ton of teams that emphasize it, but I feel like the Rams, they really get a lot out of a power run game that sets up play action. How do you – first of all, how important is that aspect of this matchup, and what's your just overall assessment of what you guys are facing Sunday night?
As far as the run game, they have a lot of weapons. As far as like on the outside and the run game, they have a good back. They have a good O-line, the quarterback, of course. So as far as like our plan, or whatever, it's just going, continue to do what we've been doing. Take the coaching, just going in this weekend. Just ready to play ball.
David, how important has Jim Schwartz been in terms of, bringing obviously a lot of experience to your defense, and obviously he's been a head coach and defensive coordinator in this league. What's it been like working with Jim Schwartz?
It's been good. I know he's been a big contributor to our team, our defense as well. He hasn't worked specifically with any, groups or whatever, but, when I do talk to him, he's always available to talk, give me tips and stuff.
So this stretch, going into it, obviously it was like, wow, look at these four games for these guys. The Bills are maybe the AFC favorite. Everybody knows what the Chiefs have done in this league. Huge division game, and now this one, Sunday Night Football, maybe a Super Bowl favorite in the NFC. In the place where the Super Bowl is going to be, you guys are 3-0. Is there any sense, David, of I know you guys are trying to win every week and go 1-0 every week, and you guys are chasing a one seed. But is there any sense that there's a little bit of a nothing to lose thing here, especially because you guys lost Derek and people maybe expect a big fall off from this team now?
No, not at all. I wouldn't say that at all.
David, as you look at this matchup coming up on Sunday against the Rams, what's the most important key defensively to slowing this team down, do you think?
I think, just going out there and playing defense like we've been playing, fast, physical, playing, great all-around smart game, So I think that's what we've been focusing on, continue to play our game like we've been doing, just continue to get better.
Titans linebacker David Long Jr. has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. David, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck coming up on Sunday against the Rams.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, David.
Absolutely. Titans linebacker David Long Jr., our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Going to be an interesting matchup coming up on Sunday night. As you pointed out, Joe, there's not a whole lot of people are going to give the Titans much of a chance to win this game, but I think it's pretty clear that's not the way they feel inside that building.
Yeah, and the nothing to lose thing. You don't expect them to look at it that way either, especially again with the fact that they're chasing things. But from the outside perspective, if they lose a competitive game Sunday, you could still look at the last month and say, man, that was impressive, and they're still in great shape to win the AFC South and be right there in January. But, yeah, I suppose if you're inside the building and look at it that way, that's a pretty good way to grab an L.
That is a pretty good way to grab an L, and you've got to deal with a cross-country fight. I'm very much looking forward to the game coming up on Sunday, obviously, with the Titans and the Rams. I think I'm maybe looking forward to just as much Joe Rexroad Monday morning doing the show live from L.A. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, it will be a very good discussion about the game, folks. Last night there was a very good football game here in Los Angeles. Yeah, golf voice. How many hours of the show do I need to do golf voice? If I'm 4 a.m. in a hotel,
I say you just
not,
let it rip
to
man.
Not disrupt my neighbor. Yeah, you think so?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, but seriously, if someone calls the front desk to complain at 4:15 in the morning, I could be kicked out of that place, man. I could be trying to do the show from my car. On my phone. We don't want that.
The real question is, will you sleep?
I don't know. Probably not. It's gonna be ugly, man. It's gonna be ugly.
Oh man, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Speaking of superstars, when we come back, we'll be joined by our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Rams coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.